This is the SML Vaultcast.
Fuck yeah, Earthbound. I've been waiting years for this.
How did we do it last time? Did we do me, you, him, or was it...
No, it was you, then me.
And then
Vogue guest still appearance. Isn't here, right. But Dingleberry is.
Dingleberry.
And then he's like, yay!
Youth Large.
Yeah, that's me!
Kmart Medium.
Kmart Medium. I just shipped my pants. I just shipped my britches.
All right, what's up, everybody? I'm Small.
I'm Large. Medium. Still...
Still out sick.
Missing.
Still out sick with the AIDS.
He's actually going to try making this one, but...
But we didn't want to get AIDS, so we told him to go away.
He's got
to
take care of what he's taking care of, but...
It's that rash we talked about in episode one. Or zero. Episode zero.
Episode zero.
But with us, as Bring usual, it back. Is, Bring is Kmart Medium, a.k.a. Youth Large.
Yep. That's me. I just shipped my pants. That's my new favorite commercial. I don't know if you saw it yet, but
what was the game?
No. There's a commercial.
No, there's a commercial
that did something similar, but
where
it was
they're talking about like shipping anything from Kmart. I'm saying.
Really? I thought you were referencing
pull up
that trailer.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Well, you could probably pull it out on the speakers.
What was that trailer though?
That was for Leviathan boats or Leviathan wars.
Leviathan boats.
If you're listening to this, and that's a huge if because I don't think anybody actually does, you have got to look for the trailer for Leviathan boats or
Leviathan warships.
It's something Leviathan.
All right, you
ready?
It's the really
best trailer of the year so far.
But here's my new favorite.
And there's this Kmart trailer.
Crank the volume so the mic picks it up.
What's the name of the trailer of the commercial?
Ship. My pants.
Ship my
That's
pants.
That's the name of the commercial.
Ship
this
my
is,
pants.
This is not the boat game we're talking about now. This is another thing that has a similar joke.
This is why I'm just like all about fucking Kmart right now. Like it's
ship my pants, right here. Ship my pants. You're kidding. You can ship your pants right here. You hear that? I can ship my pants for free.
Wow. I just may ship my pants.
Yeah, ship your pants, Billy. You can ship your pants too.
I can't wait to ship my pants back.
I just shipped my pants, and it's very convenient.
Very convenient.
I just shipped my drawers.
I just shipped my nightie.
I just shipped my bed.
If you can't find what you're looking for in store, we'll find it at Kmart.com right now and ship it to you for free.
Wow.
Right? It's fucking
Has
phenomenal.
Has that been on TV?
Oh, yeah.
That is amazing.
Yep.
I just shipped. My bad!
So, Vaultcast episode 10 brought to you by Kmart.
Yep, right?
Apparently.
That's where you can ship your pants.
I just might ship my pants.
People are going to start accusing us for having money hats now.
No, we just like to ship our pants.
I just ship my pants. Billy, ship your pants right now. I can't wait to ship my pants. But as soon as he said, like, oh, Kmart Medium, I'm like, yeah, I just might ship my pants.
But yeah, there's a boat trailer that came out today for a game that Paradox Interactive is putting out, which I'm going to pull up the name of.
Which is...
It was Leviathan something.
You know what? I'm
Leviathan
sure
Battleships.
Right.
I don't know. Play Battleships. It is a turn-based strategy thing.
Strategy boat game. Doesn't take place in the clouds because boats don't fly.
Yeah.
According to the trailer.
According to the trailer.
The critic's comment of, Kah! Was...
Yeah, that was good. Yeah,
it's definite highlight.
You have to put a link to this when you post the podcast.
Oh, Lord.
You're going to have to link the Kmart commercial. You're going to have to link the Leviathan.
It's called Leviathan Warships. It's a strategy game that will be out on PC, Mac, iOS, and Android. And it's going to have cross-platform support.
But it's the porniest trailer I've ever heard.
It's got like a jazzy...
They said that all the money that they saved
on voiceovers,
for the trailer and all that stuff, they put into the game. So you can't really judge them for that. Like,
yeah.
But
close the Steam window. I need to make sure that those PAX tickets...
Oh, yeah, PAX.
PAX.
I want to go to PAX.
So does that lead us to news where PAX tickets went on sale today?
How do I get over there?
And the
you got to go to the other side. Other side. Go through the... Yeah, there you go.
Oh, wow. It's like
that?
Fucking backwards.
It was an accident. Don't hit play on Don't Starve, you fuck. Minimize. Okay. I'm sure it'll pop up at some point. Anyway, yeah, news today. PAX tickets for PAX Prime went on sale.
PAX tickets for PAX
they're already
Prime
sold out.
The four-day tickets sold out
immediately. Yes.
And Saturday day passes are already phasing out, and I'm in line to get a pair of tickets. Or, no, I guess four tickets. Fuck, because it's 4 days. It's a day longer than PAX East was.
I want to go! Damn it! Even though we were just in Boston, and we just went to PAX East... I want to go to this one because the first thing... I didn't even look at any of the other, like, programs and the panels that they're going to have. The first one that I was told about on the first day is a Hey Ash, What You Playing? And I'm like...
Hey Ash, What You Playing?
I wasted PAX East. No, because I got to play Soulforge, so it's... Yeah.
No errors came up on that? This is a long fucking wait. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put up on
welcome
my
to the queue.
This is riveting podcast.
Anyway, well, hey, yeah, man, so, they gotta wait for our shit.
Order in the court.
So, big news today was the Nintendo Direct press conference, and fuck yeah, Earthbound. Finally, Earthbound, after years and years and years, finally announced for the Wii U Virtual Console later on this year.
And
I just about shipped my pants.
And you shipped your pants
out
for
of excitement.
Free.
I'm excited. I don't know if you guys are huge Earthbound fans or not, but I love the game. If you know anything about my internet history, I organized a Bound Together remix project for Earthbound.
I believe that was episode 4 or 5. We talked to Kunal about it.
Yeah, when Kunal was here, when Kunbag.
This guy.
Yeah. You have a memory. You're not old yet.
Not yet.
I was just talking to Kunal about that when I saw him recently. About Earthbound and how there's talk that it came out in Japan, yeah. And there's talk of it coming out here.
There's been rumors, and I was saying I'm not going to believe it until they announce it, and they announced it,
and you just about shipped your pants.
I woke up, looked at my email, saw that, and I lost my mind. Like, I was going to sleep longer. I'm like, no, I need to go online, make sure that someone posted about this.
Yeah.
And no one posted about it on the Gaming Vault yet, so I actually hopped on, posted a story. And there was a whole bunch of other Nintendo news that, honestly, I didn't give
nearly as much of a shit about.
Yeah, this is just...
I'm still excited about it, but
Earthbound is something funny about
trumps all.
About gamers and fans of certain series. Like, Earthbound is a big deal, don't get me wrong. I mean, I didn't like playing the original one, but I don't think I gave it enough of a chance, so I will play it when it gets re-released. But,
I'll say it's going to be a lot harder to get into with how games have advanced over the past 20 years.
That's the problem, is that it was one of those games that I caught wind of as being, like, amazing, and it's like, oh, cool, I'll check it out. But at the time, I was playing all of the old Final Fantasies, too. I was just discovering those and playing those, and they just felt technically superior, which made me go, I'm not really into this Earthbound thing. But I think now I'd appreciate it. But,
it's very retro. Like, in a world of 16-bit games then, it was a very 8-bit throwback game with 16-bit visuals.
So,
the retro fans are going to ship their pants over.
They're going to ship their pants.
I almost think it was a bigger announcement that Nintendo is making a sequel to Link to the Past.
Yeah, that's... Is it an official sequel? Because everything
it's called
heard,
Link
so,
to the Past 2. 2.
Is it?
Yes.
All right, I've heard conflicting stuff that it's just a new game set in the same universe.
Well, it is.
Yeah, but the title... Well, the title
I didn't know
is
it
called...
was officially called 2.
Yeah.
It is.
I should read my Nintendo emails a little more.
That's what we read.
All right. Yeah, from what we understand, it's called 2, but as
the
far as...
The video we watched.
Right, but as far as storyline and such, it's the same universe as Link to the Past... But it's an alternate storyline. So I don't know if it happens at the same time or earlier or after. I'm not sure.
With how big of a deal Link to the Past is to people?
Of the few Zelda games I actually sat down to get through, that was one of the ones that I actually sat down and got through.
Yeah. Have you finished Link's Awakening on the Game Boy?
No.
I'm probably one of the few guys that prefer that one to A Link to the Past.
But the big deal about this is Nintendo... has been hesitant to do Zelda sequels.
Yeah.
And
the thing is, I don't know if it's an official sequel. Here, this is the email I got from Nintendo. It says, a new game in the Legend of Zelda series. Nintendo developers are working on a new game set in the world of The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, which launched for the Super NES in 92. The game makes use of the 3D abilities of the Nintendo 3DS and allows Link to become a drawing and move along walls. A 3D video of the new game is now available to download in the Nintendo eShop. The game is scheduled to launch this holiday season.
We
watched the trailer for the game.
And the official Nintendo trailer?
Yeah, because what's his name was on before it, explaining it. And he was explaining
it
the game.
It was in the direct. I didn't catch the direct because I slept through that shit. Well, I'm just going off what I got in the email. Yeah. So if they officially announced it, awesome.
The big deal of this is the fact that it comes back around to Nintendo as a company, too. They're starting to do a few things that they don't normally do, which is now we're seeing a sequel or an expansion of a Zelda universe that people have want. I mean, people are going to like that. People are going to be like, yay, you know.
I haven't gotten excited for a Zelda game in quite some time. I'm excited for this.
I wouldn't be surprised. I would be surprised to hear apprehension.
I'm excited for the Wind Waker HD remake, too.
I would be surprised to hear apprehension about this title, because this is what people wanting Nintendo to do for a long time. It's like, look, we just want more fucking Zelda. We want more of what we like.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal. Earthbound, them finally bringing this down is a big deal, because then it's saying that maybe they are opening their selves up to being like, people want this game.
Yeah.
You know, let's give them this game. Be it's going to be on the Wii U Virtual Console, so about three people will probably play it.
My hopes is if it sells well, it'll open the door for Mother 3.
Exactly. Like the sequels that never came over, that would be big. That's what Nintendo needs to do, is they need to realize, like, oh shit, like, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
People want these games.
But they seem to honestly be treating this like a big announcement. The header of the email is Nintendo announces new games in The Legend of Zelda, Yoshi's Island series, and at long last, Earthbound. Like, they're treating that like a massive, massive deal. And to me, that's the massivest deal. Like, I have a huge shit-eating grin on my face right now just thinking that Earthbound...
A shit-eating grin. Yeah.
Earthbound is coming back to America officially for real. And I'm gonna buy the fuck out of that game the minute it's released. Like, I'm gonna find friends who own a Wii U and be like, are you buying Earthbound? No. Here's $10 in eShop credit. Fucking buy it. Like,
See, that's what's actually kind of exciting to me, is that, I mean, now, I'm not personally like, oh my god, Earthbound. However, to hear you, and I know other people are going to be that way towards this game, and essentially, it's going to be something that would be sold for, you know, I'd say what, like $10?
I'm going to guess $8-$9.
So let's say even if we highball it, 10, maybe even if 15 if they get greedy.
I'd pay 20. I'd pay 40. I don't give a shit.
But still, to see people get that excited over a game, which in today's market is only going to cost 10, maybe $15,
yeah.
I think, you know...
It says a lot about
the name exactly.
The franchise.
It says a lot more about the, you know, the game itself and what people really want from the industry right now.
Yeah.
As opposed to just, well, I'm just gonna wait until something really piques my interest and then maybe I'll buy it. I'll have to do some research first. But then, you know, something like this comes along, like, well, fuck, it's only $10-$15. I'm just gonna buy it.
Hell yeah.
Just go for it, you know? Because even for me, I mean, like, that's kind of how I felt with Diablo. I mean, I did some research on it before. But I was just like, no, I have to have this. Like, it's just, there's no excuse for me to not get this game.
Yeah.
And I haven't really felt that way for many other games that have come out recently, aside from Soulforge, but that's going to be free to download. Mm-hmm. Monaco looks absolutely, like, Monaco, we played it, so we played the beta,
well,
I guess it was beta, or
it
alpha.
It was a prototype version of the game, which is what basically got them the recognition. And then I'm assuming that they got funding and went out and built a new version of the game.
Yeah, but it is fun.
More fully
it's fun
realized.
As shit. That was actually some of the
fun as ship.
Fun as ship.
Fun as ship. There's no swearing ever on this podcast.
No,
so.
No fucking swearing at all.
No. But that was the most fun that I had had recently gaming. And that was just me. Well, it was me, you, and Piccolotti.
Yeah.
So, and even just the three of us, like, going through, I think we only went through, like, one or two levels. But I had a blast.
Well, you and me went
through. Well, we went through a couple. Six or seven. But with Piccolotti, we went. That was, but it was such a fucking blast.
Maybe like, that will be your Earthbound. But Earthbound and Link to the Past 2 aren't the only two things that happened on the Zelda news.
Apparently.
Yeah, allegedly. On the Zelda news, it was announced that Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons are both coming to the 3DS Virtual Console on May 30th, which I think is cool.
Those were the two made
by Capcom that linked together. They were released at the same time. Yeah, they kind of flew under the radar.
Yeah, I don't remember because
it was
at all.
I think it was near the end of the Game Boy Color life cycle.
Okay.
And they were two Zelda games released at the same time. And if you beat one, you got a password that you could enter in the other one that unlocks extra secrets and content in that game to kind of continue on the story.
But if you,
oh, they're linked together.
If you beat both games, though,
you got a true ending.
Yeah, you have to, if you beat both and punched in both both passwords, it gives you a different ending boss fight with a new ending.
Weird.
Yeah.
But that's pretty awesome, though.
I'm sure a lot of Zelda fans missed those the first time around, so it'll be cool to see people get a true shot at those finally.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yoshi's Island, a new Yoshi's
Island game is coming. I'm excited for that. I liked the Yoshi Island game.
I just hope that Baby Mario doesn't cry like an asshole the entire game again.
Yeah. Yeah, if that happens, I might not want to play it because I hate children, so. No, I'm not even, like, I despise children. I feel sorry for the people that have had to put up with me as a child to this point. And every time I see a child, I just want to punt them.
Yeah. Well, if they're well behaved.
No, I hate all of them.
Well, you are a hateful person.
When it comes to children, I am the biggest Grinch I could possibly ever.
I like kids until they get too close to me.
Nice.
Gross.
Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D comes out May 24th.
That'll be awesome, actually.
So, Donkey Kong Country Returns, the Wii game, coming to the 3DS.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Hopefully they got rid of all like the motion control bullshit you had to do in that game and just do button presses now. I think that's the only thing that held back Donkey Kong Country Returns. It was the force.
That still did really well, though, didn't it?
It did. It sold like 5 million copies. It did really well. And the new version is going to have like 8 new stages that you could play after the main game. And it says here, a new mode optimized for handheld play with new items and mechanics.
Sweet.
So we'll see how they handle that. But as long as they don't fuck up what Retro did, it sounds awesome
to me. Because, I mean, like, I've been looking for some more 3DS stuff. I'm glad that there's, like, a lot of 3DS stuff that's going to be coming out that I'm excited for. Because
the conference was
nothing
very
on my 3DS right now. Like,
well, it's making the money now.
Yeah. I play Street Fighter on my 3DS, and that's it.
Mario and Luigi Dream Team.
Oh, yeah, it's Mario and Luigi Inception.
Yes. So a new Mario and Luigi game taking place in Luigi's head. So, God knows how much S&M shit's going to be in there.
Inception. There was a whirlwind of Luigi's in the trailer.
Yeah. Like, this is like the year of Luigi, which is awesome.
That's kind of cool, actually.
Luigi, my boy.
He deserves it. Long time coming, Luigi.
It is. 30 years, and he's finally getting a year to break out and be a star.
Oh, wasn't there a fucking Mario Golf thing that got announced, too?
Yep, Mario Golf World Tour.
Is that 3DS or
3DS?
World Tour Online.
Nice!
Yeah, and it's online. They're going to have online, I don't know if they're tournaments exactly, but real-time online
matches.
It
could be like a ladder system or something.
Might be. But I'm thinking it's going to be like Tiger Woods or Hot Shots, where a lobby of maybe 10, 20, 30 people all hop into a game and play together.
That'd be awesome. That's rad.
And I love the Mario Golf games. I hope it keeps some of the RPG elements that other handheld Mario Golf games have had that have never translated to the console versions. Like, the console versions are just like golf games. The handheld would have, like, RPG stat elements and upgrades and, walking around the clubhouse, talking to people.
Oh, weird.
So I'd love to see that happen. Animal Crossing New Leaf comes out June 9th. and it's going to have its own special 3DS XL system.
Really?
Which it really doesn't look
that good.
It doesn't,
no, it's the white one with
it's the white one with like leaf and little shitty.
I want an XL. Jordan wants an XL. I want to get her the Pikachu one, despite her wanting to get something different.
I want the Pikachu one.
I told her
Pikachu one right here, motherfuckers.
We could stab him and rob him.
Yeah, you could stab me if you want. There's going to be a lot of blubber to penetrate, but...
Oh, look at that.
That's so awesome.
Look at
like,
the back,
how could you
too.
Not,
it's all the
like...
way around.
Yeah, how could you not sweet. Want that? Like, that's definitely the coolest looking DS. No, other than that one that was over in Japan, it's not coming over.
Which one?
With all the fucking demon crazy one. Demons and shit on it.
I can't remember what that's for. It might be for...
It was
Shin
for
Megami
some sort of game.
Oh, it might be the Shin Megami one.
That one looks disgusting.
It looks
good.
Yeah, Shin Megami Tensei 4 is coming out. Wow. What's the date on that one? July 16th. It's going to be kind of pricey, $49.99 for a 3DS game.
Ooh.
But the first shipment is going to come in a limited box set that has, you know, the usual soundtrack, CD, a special slipcase, and a massive 176-page strategy and design book that's like first part strategy guide and art book.
And that's a lot of pages for
and
a
it's DS it's going to be like a full size, well, maybe not absolute full size book, but it's not going to be the size of a 3DS case.
Yeah, the size
case.
Of a 3DS case.
It's going to be at least double sized case, which looks awesome.
Because that'd be even funnier if they made it the size of a 3DS case and just like 400 and pages.
It's thicker than the game case. The soundtrack CD is also going to be a collection CD that offers tracks specially selected from across the 20-year history of the Mega Ten franchise, which I think will be pretty freaking awesome.
That could be interesting, yeah.
Yeah, I'm eager for that one. Professor Layton is coming back. New game next year.
Professor
cool.
Layton.
Also
Yay.
Next year, finally, they announced Bravely Default is coming to America.
What is that?
Square Enix RPG that has had massive, massive buzz. It has a little unique twist in that you can skip a turn in battle and deal more damage your next turn. So you could, like, build yourself up.
Kind of so like Pokemon?
Yeah, you can use Leer.
The Pokemans. It's also
like
going to have AR...
Sandshrew uses freaking Sandblast or whatever.
Yeah. His attack rises.
Gonna have AR functions, multiple endings, unique wireless features. But with all the buzz it's getting, it's pretty cool that it's finally coming to America.
I haven't seen that many games actually use the AR thing. Like, really utilize it.
Another one using it, new Mario Party coming out this year.
Nice! I love Mario Party so much.
It's gonna have the usual board game elements, and then it's also gonna have a 30-floor tower climb. Not sure how that's gonna be handled.
Awesome!
As well as AR card games and Street Pass battles.
Yeah, Street Pass! I'll finally have something to use Street Pass with. Sweet.
Download front, they're gonna have a new Mario and Donkey Kong game coming out.
Oh, like those puzzle things?
Yeah. The minis, instead of trying to track down or, like, defeat Donkey Kong, I think it's more of a, like, a work-together kind of thing.
Like Lemmings? But
possibly. Cool. I didn't really see much on it.
Kind of like Lemmings, so.
But 180 stages, so there's going to be plenty of content. Oh, what else? Level 5 are going to have their trio of games coming out for the eShop.
Yeah, that stupid Kenji Inafune one that looks stupid.
And then
the name was cool. Bugs versus Tanks. I got excited. I saw the video and I was like, this looks like the stupidest game in the world.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the videos for him.
Think of what would pop into your head when you think Tanks versus Bugs.
Versus Bugs.
The graphics look like an original DS title, and literally in the video they showed like a few World War I style tanks, or World War II, whatever. Like, shooting a giant bug that was, you know, a little bit bigger than the tank. I guess the plot is the tanks get shrunken down, and you have to fight bugs. Huh. But, it seriously looked like a N64 or original DS game.
You know what it...
And it looked clunky, and it looked unfun.
You know what it looked like to me? It almost looked like a WarioWare, like, minigame. Obviously, graphically it wasn't, but, like, sort of. That's what it honestly reminded me of.
I think he's drunk.
don't know. I'll have to watch the videos.
Yeah, watch the video, dude. It just looks fucking horrible.
You mentioned Wario. Game & Wario is hitting the Wii U.
Nice!
June
23rd. Nice!
That finally has a date. As well as Pikmin 3, which was supposed to be a launch title and a launch window title. It's finally coming August 4th.
Now it's just a
title.
Yeah. Who cares? It's been years in the making. I can't wait to get my hands on it.
I don't think I've ever played a Pikmin game.
They're fun.
You'd probably like them.
Probably.
I don't know. I like murder.
Do you like them? Yeah. Use your Pikmin to murder bugs. Or just chuck them all in the water and watch them die.
Oh, okay. Then I could probably get into that. Murder, murder, murder.
And then next week, there's supposed to finally be a system update for the system that speeds up the menu loading times.
Thank God.
And then shortly after is the official launch of the virtual console.
I mean, oh, okay. So they've just been adding bullshit onto it, just being like, well, we're just going to leave this here for later.
Well, a couple virtual console games have trickled out. They've been doing their Famicom 30-year anniversary thing, where for 30 days at a time, they have a different virtual console title on the Wii U available for 30 cents. Like, there was Balloon Punch-Out, F-Zero. Yeah. I think Kirby is on sale now, ooh. Kirby's Adventure, for 30 cents.
Oh, man. That's brutal. I'd buy the fuck out of that.
Hell yeah. I think Super Metroid's coming for 30 cents.
30 cents?
30 fucking cents.
That's pretty ludicrous.
That is. So,
ludicrous.
Luda.
But, yeah, hopefully Earthbound will not be too far behind.
It really depends. I mean, like, it's one thing for them to announce it. It's another thing for it to, like, you know, come at a reasonable time. Like,
yeah, they say this year, so I'll be patient.
So this year it'll be December.
The last week of December.
The last day. It'll be like New Year's Eve, and they'll be like, yeah, it's out!
I could see it being a Christmas release. I really could. Yeah. Like, Merry Christmas. You're finally getting this game. Now shut the fuck up.
Quit your bitching.
So, that was the Nintendo news. Massive Nintendo day for sure.
Yes.
Would've liked to see a bit more Wii U news, because that could use a lot of love right now. But, I'm excited with the news we got. Fucking Earthbound! Earthbound! Finally coming!
We'll have to do an Earthbound podcast at some point.
What's the other big news?
It'll just be Joe sitting there going,
Earthbound! Earthbound!
The whole time.
You guys like, what the fuck is so good about this game?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those games that it's tough to hype because
it's very
it
niche.
Will, if you like hype it, people will play it and they'll go, I don't get it, I don't
like,
understand.
Like, why do people give a shit about this
game? Yeah, you have to, it's a game that you have to be like, you should check it out. Don't hype them on it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone else should be excited as I am for this.
This half hour of the podcast is just for him.
I've been fully erect this entire time.
Yeah, the table has been tipping towards hell.
Towards Kmart Medium.
Yeah, Kmart Medium, which the viewers can't see.
Ship the viewers in my pants.
So, other big news, Sony still doesn't know how to update a fucking store.
Sony doesn't know how to do fucking anything, right?
They started maintenance on the PlayStation Store Monday. As of now, Wednesday, it's still going on.
PAX has sold out of Saturday tickets.
Oh, balls.
Holy shit!
Hey, Kyle!
Oh, wait, this just in. The PlayStation Store is finally updated after being down for the better part of a day.
Okay, so PlayStation Store's back up, and I can't get the Soul Sacrifice demo, because I'm here, so...
Well, yeah. It literally happened while we were recording this.
That's the end of this week's podcast.
Yeah. I need to go home and fucking update.
We should go, just because of time this week, I think we should go right into reader mail.
So, reader mail. Let's see.
Reader mail.
Let us load this up.
Have we received any entries to the meaning of the SML?
I don't know. Let's go through all the mail, since they're not really segregated. But
it's racist.
Looks like we missed the mail from last week from Derek Terrence, is it?
Derek Terrence.
Let's see. Saw your post, so here you go. It seems like most mainstream games nowadays barrage their users with tutorials from beginning to end. When I look back to titles like Mega Man or Mario, it really felt like a learn-as-you-go type of game. Eventually, you find yourself trading tips and tricks with other players, all of which you've personally discovered. So where did those kind of games go, and why is it now that when I find them, they are so few... Yeah, there's so few in between. Shouldn't be far.
Few and far between.
Yeah. Or more importantly, what are your thoughts on game companies dumbing down potentially great titles for their buyers? Durka.
That's real easy.
That's, yeah.
The internet.
No, it has nothing to do with the internet. It has something to do with marketability of a title.
Yep.
And, like, once I brought up Call of Duty last week of how people get to see it, and they see how smooth it runs, and they see how fast and furious and entertaining it can be, and people want to jump on it. And it's not just how... I don't want to say good that game looks, because it doesn't look that great anymore. But it looks fun.
Appealing.
And it looks easy, and it appeals to a broad category of people. That's what a lot of game companies are doing anymore, is they're dumbing down their titles in order to appeal to a larger market. Because they know that, yeah, we'll lose a few hundred or a few thousand core fans of the series, but we'll gain... you know, tens of thousands of people who are casually interested in this, who might buy this title or buy DLC or buy the next title after that because they tried the other one and enjoyed it, even if they didn't finish it. It's the whole thing is that they know that they can put less effort into complexity and turn it into a higher selling title.
Yeah.
Which, that's all that gets.
But he also mentioned, like, the tips and tricks and finding things as you go. A lot of that's gone because of the internet, where back in the day...
he's saying, like, in the game itself...
See,
like, even, like, when we were playing Castle Crashers yesterday, which
we were,
that was awesome. That was my first experience with that. But we were playing Castle Crashers a little bit yesterday, and every single time you would hit a level, they would be like, oh, don't forget to try this, and don't forget to do this, and don't forget to try this, and you should probably try this, too, when you're fighting people. And I'm just like, dude, let me fucking fight people.
Yeah, they'd be trying to teach you a combo while, like, the game's still going on, and you're still in the middle of a fight.
Yeah, and then, like, this big pop-up window would come up, like, especially with, we had three people playing, a pop-up window would come up and just be like, oh, you unlocked a new combo, and it's three fucking buttons. And then it's like, but it leaves it up on the screen, and it's so fucking big that, like, I couldn't even see where I was going half the goddamn time.
I think he's even talking about secrets, though. Like, look at Super Mario Bros. 1. That first warp zone in World 1-2.
Well, yeah.
Where did you first find out about that? Probably
I fucked up.
No,
I waited too long.
And I was around.
Yeah.
Like, lots of my friends didn't know about that until I showed them.
Yeah.
See, once again, that brings us back to the complexity issue, though, that this is one of those things where they know that they don't have to do that anymore, and people, they don't have to put all this extra work into it. There's less love, especially less love of labor going into a lot of these games. And then, I mean, it costs the company more to make these people go back and do those things, so they're not going to pay these people more to do it.
I don't know, look at Arkham Asylum, that hidden room that... showcase.
See, but there was a lot of love that went into that game.
There was. And even that game, it went how long without being found? And then when it was found, immediately on the internet, and everybody knew about it. If this was 20 years ago, that'd be something you'd be hearing whispers of in high school or in elementary school. That, oh man, did you hear about the hidden room
until
Arkham Asylum?
Or a Devil's Advocate, or until a magazine got wind of it and published it. And then it would be fairly common knowledge.
But that wouldn't be information at your fingertips.
That's the way that our community... Well,
this has ruined Magic the Gathering. This has ruined a lot of card games and sport card games, competitive card games and things like that, too, because everybody does net decks. They look up the best strategy because somebody did the actual statistics of what is the best.
That was honestly one of the main reasons why me and him got out of it. Like, Magic... To me, when I was playing it wasn't fun to go up to an FNM and just be like, oh, okay, well, you know, we would buy, like, maybe a booster box or, like, a fat pack of a new set that would come out, and then we would just try and incorporate whatever cards that we got into the decks that we already built.
Well, not just that, like, we would come up with new and fresh ideas based off of what we could figure out. It wasn't, let's go online and see what's winning all the tournaments right now, which is some cheese ball move.
Yeah.
But, I mean, bringing it back to the thing, though, the reason why we don't see that anymore is it is a complex thing that companies just don't... don't like to do because of their bottom line anymore. Some companies do. They're like, for instance, I mean, most indie companies, any indie game you'll play will have secret shit in it anymore. And then Dark Souls. And that company, those games, holy shit, Dark Souls, Demon Souls. Since Demon Souls, there's an item that had showed up in both games. It was a pendant. Nobody ever knew what the fuck it did. And it wasn't until, like, a year or two after Dark Souls came out that the director in an interview said, it doesn't do anything. It's an item you can start with. And he's like, it doesn't do anything. And there was rumors that, like, if you have the item at this time of the day, at night, you know, fucking... You go to this area of the game and you hit a stone three times, you know, a ghost will appear and it'll give you this, you know, item or whatever. Like, there's all these rumors
flying
around.
That's the shit I miss from middle school, is just rumors.
Well, yeah, that's what Dark Souls did. That's one of the reasons why I love that game so much, is it became... Chris and I sat here and played it on two monitors side by side, each playing our games, and we would talk about what we were figuring out. Because we would go to different areas and stuff, and we'd be like, oh, man, so there's this boss. You know, how did you get past him? I can't figure it out. People even online, the game's so hard that a lot of people online had so many different conflicting things of how to get past these certain areas. That is golden game design, and the reason why you don't see that often is because it's fucking hard as shit to do.
Yeah.
And look how... I mean, Dark Souls is a good hit for that company, but I guarantee you it sold nowhere close to what... any other game that was a hit that year did.
Probably not.
You know? I mean, that's just... that game is unforgiving, but it's an amazing mystery of a game.
Yeah, but you know what? And this is kind of how I felt about, like, when I was still working with you down at the shop, and I was going back and playing a bunch of NES titles that were moderately difficult. Because it was one of those kind of things where it's like, me personally, I like the challenge, but I don't like the amount of time that you necessarily have to put into certain things. And when I made my way through Ninja Gaiden 1 and Ninja Gaiden 2, dude, like, I felt so accomplished after I beat the game and you know, I told him about it, and he was like, well, how the fuck did you get past this part, and how'd you do this? And I was just like, well, I figured this out, and I figured this out. Like, I felt that much more, like, I just felt better about my gaming experience because I got to figure it out, as opposed to being babied and just, like, you know, felt like my hand was being held and just go this way, and then go this way, and don't forget to do this, because this is exactly what you're going to have to do to get past this part, and we're just going to remind you, just in case you forgot. Like, I hate that about a lot of modern games. It's just like, just get me into the fucking game, let me figure it out, and if I can't figure it out, well, then it sucks to be me. Then I should probably go try and, you know, ask someone. Yeah. But don't literally spell it all out for every single person that's gonna go and play that game. Like, that's what I really don't like about
it. I think developers now, they're just more concerned with wanting players to experience the whole game.
Well, this brings me back around to my usual discussion of mobile games are the future, and indie games are the biggest thing that we have going for us, because those people are going to be putting these things that they played and they loved into the games that they're making, because they don't have to answer to companies, and if they do, they are the company. They're gonna be the guys going in and saying, you know, I grew up with Ninja Gaiden, and I want, you know, I want this type of game, or I grew up with Earthbound, and I want this type of game with these types of, you know, pieces of complexity in it. That's gonna be the, that's where we're gonna get these experiences from in the next decade, or some of the companies that have free reign, like what's a good company?
Suda 51.
Well, yeah, I mean, Suda 51, From Software, what is it, CD Projekt, that's doing that sick-looking cyberpunk game?
Possibly.
The people who do The Witcher.
Yeah, I mean, CD Projekt Red.
you know, there are companies out there that are going out and doing new and inventive things, but it's very few and far between.
Yeah.
And, but those companies make those games because they are prescribing to our market, and there is a market there, which will get tapped by more companies as time goes on.
I just hope innovation starts to come back, because like Dead Space 3 kind of flopped, and then in March alone, Gears of War Judgment, Gears of War Judgment, and God of War Ascension both fairly flopped. Neither of them.
They came and went so fucking fast to me. It's not even funny. It's like everybody was like, "Oh yeah, new gears," and I was like, "All right, just let me know when it's over." I love
the
new Gears.
It was a great game. It was a great step forward for the series, but people were burnt out on the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, next question from Amanda Brown. She was the one who was at WrestleMania.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Amanda. Hi, SMM.
Actually, I forgot. Earlier today, I hopped on League for like a couple minutes. She had requested me as a friend on there, and not thinking, because I'll get like a bunch of requests from people that I don't fucking know and just decline them instantaneously, I accidentally did that. So if you're listening, send me another one and call me an idiot. So, yeah, sorry.
You're a dick. Hi, SML. I've been listening in on your podcast, and I understand that you have some pretty detailed views about video games. No. I guess you could consider this an opinion question. I've been trying to dig a little deeper into the vast world of video games, and I'm a little tired of the AAA title games and looking for something that's a bit off the beaten path. Can you give me a few titles that are one of those under-the-radar gems? It doesn't matter what era it's been in. What are your favorites that never really took the spotlight?
Shadows of the Damned, damn it.
Oh, yeah, Shadows of the Damned was a fantastic console game.
So good. I loved that fucking game.
So much pedigree in that game. And Shadows of the Damned is a really good one.
That's on PlayStation 3 or 360.
I'm going to go with Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning.
I didn't get a chance to try that either.
It was a little bit of a bigger title, I guess, but it obviously didn't sell as well as it needed to, because 38 Studios is gone. But it's what Fable 2 and Fable 3 wished it was.
Ooh, that's heavy.
Yeah, it's the best Fable really game I ever played. I love the game. I'm very sad that we'll never get more.
I'm trying to think of like some of the other ones for me personally.
Oh, Henry Hatsworth and the Puzzling Adventure.
Yeah, absolutely.
That game was DS.
DS, yep.
What is that, like puzzle game mixed with a platformer? One on each screen.
You can actually get, and I think it was here.
It was like $2.99, 70% off.
$2-3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Find that shit and play it.
Yes, Henry Hatsworth. And it's funny, it's like quirky, it's very
funny, and it's very fun. There's a slight difficulty curve as the game nears its climax.
Yeah, holy shit, does it get like kind of wacky at the end.
Fun.
Should we go with Fire Emblem Awakening? Do you think that's under the radar enough?
Fuck you.
No.
Fuck you, and of course you wrote it on.
Etrian Odyssey.
See, you know what though? I mean, like, even for me personally, like, I always talked about Advance Wars, and there was a lot of people that were just like, I have no idea what that is. And it's, you know, I used to play the shit out of that on my GBA. Even, like, I don't know, like, there were two games that I absolutely always fucking loved when it came to, like, the older, like, well, I should say, I think both of them were on Genesis. Gunstar Heroes, which you can get on the Xbox Live Arcade for like, I don't know, like maybe
$5
or something like that.
PS3.
I did speed runs of that game so many times in my life, but I've enjoyed it every single playthrough. That's a lot of fun. And then there's another game that I think I might have like brought up like a couple weeks ago when I was in your store, also for Genesis, called Subterranea.
That game's pretty wild.
Subterranea, you control like a spaceship kind of thing, and you have missions that you have to do to complete the levels. The way that it works is it kind of has like, the way that you control the ship is almost asteroid-esque. You have a thruster, and you just kind of, you know, turn the ship to whatever direction you want to go. However, there's a gravitational pull constantly pulling the ship downwards when you're not using the gas.
Huh.
So, you know, you'll fly up to a certain portion, then you'll just
you're kind of
casually drop down. But there's a fuel and a shield system. If your fuel drops and while you're in midair, then you'll just crash and burn and die, and then it's you gotta go back over it. Like,
it's also the game where BioShock stole the Skyhook system from.
There is. There's a Skyhook system on like the second or third level. And you hook the ship onto it, and instead of using your gas, you'll literally just zip around on this thing. If you get hit and you get knocked off, then you have to find, you can only attach to the hook on the ends of the thing. So it's like you can't just hook onto it in the middle of the beam, so to speak. So you have to actually hook it onto it on one end and then just like zip down. And but it's so much fun. There's a ton of levels. I never beat it because it was actually like it actually gets really, really ridiculous after a while. But it was one of those games that like nobody, like I talked about it for years and years and years and years, and every single time I've ever brought it up, they're like, I have no idea what the fuck that is. Like that, and I think it was like Ranger X, which was another Genesis game that I actually really enjoyed. You're like this mech suit kind of guy. It's almost like a platformer kind of thing. That game was a lot of fun too, and you know, and maybe it was just I got really niche, weird titles when I had my Genesis, but like those three games in particular, Ranger X, Subterranea, and Gunstar Heroes, those were like my three all-time favorites for that console, and the only one that I mentioned to people and that they knew what I was talking about was Gunstar Heroes,
yeah,
because it was on the Xbox Live Arcade. So, I mean, like, if you're looking for older stuff, those are some older examples that I would kind of suggest.
But on the PC front, a newer one that's pretty fun, Air Mech. I think that's also coming out on Xbox and PS3.
Oh, is that one that was that browser-based thing?
Yeah, it was a browser-based game at first. Now it's on Steam. And it's a it's sort of like a League of Legends MOBA type of thing. There's two bases, but it's also partially based off of an old Genesis game called Herzog's Vi. And what it is you pilot a mech, and it's like a top-down view. And the mech can turn into a jet, and you can fly over buildings, or you can fly around the map, then land and like shoot as your mech and stuff. You can shoot in the air, too. But from the air, you can't hit the ground. From the ground, you can't hit the air. But units are... infantry units are coming out of each base and mutually killing each other in the middle. But on their way, they will get inside of a building and capture it for you. There's little buildings littered throughout. So what you try to do is you try to capture as many of the buildings as you can. They can be taken away from you by enemy infiltration. And you can build tanks and all sorts of crazy shit out of these buildings. And you can pick them up in your jet and fly them and land them and give them orders to attack or defend or what have you. And it's really entertaining. It's very fast paced, and it's free. Another good one is, it's kind of tough to play anymore. Thread Space Hyperball on
you like space
on the PC.
Games, don't you?
This was I can't even describe this game. This is one of the most original titles I've ever played in my life, but it was very difficult. It had kind of a steep learning curve, and the community is very unforgiving because you get into a game and shit's exploding everywhere, and you're like, "What the fuck is happening?" And then, by the time you get any sort of grasp of it, the level's over, and you feel horrible because you like somehow team killed everybody. And I can't describe the game though. If you're curious, look up a trailer. It's pretty wild, very fun. I don't know if anybody still plays it.
I got two myself, a new one and an old one. The new one, kind of borderline, I'm going to say Rock Band Blitz. A lot of people didn't really give...
Rock Band Blitz?
Yes.
A PSP?
No, that's Rock Band.
Oh, you mean...
Blitz is the one for XBLA and PSN. A lot of people didn't give it a chance because it's not a...
What is it?
It's an arcade-style game where instead of using drums or a guitar instrument, you're just using the controller.
So it's like Stepmania.
No, it's styled after, like, Amplitude or Frequency.
So, like, Stepmania.
No, you don't step on anything.
Right, you don't step on anything for Stepmania. You use a keyboard.
I thought that was Beatmania.
No. Stepmania was the PC port for, like, a bunch of, like, DDR and What was the other?
Okay, which involves in stepping. The groove.
No, you use your keyboard.
Okay. Anyway, this has...
it was the four arrows, but you use the arrows on your keyboard, and you press the...
That sounds like it's completely missing the point of DDR. Anyway, Rock Band Blitz, it has the five instruments, and each instrument has a left and a right note that you can either use the analog sticks, or you can use the bumpers, and you have to hit them in time to the music, but it's not about hitting every note. It's about triggering power-ups and triggering special notes that do special things, and it's all about getting the highest score possible, not getting 100% on the song. And it's a whole new spin on it. If you've ever played Amplitude or Frequency, you should know what you're expecting. Even the PSP version of Rock Band Unplugged is a lot closer to it, but instead of having four notes, you have only two, and it may seem like it's dumbed down, but it's very fast-paced, and you pretty much just have to act and jump around, hitting the different tracks, hitting the notes, and you're not, like, planning things out, like, let me do this star chart here, and I'll activate this power here. You're just fucking playing and blazing through it, and it's...
Mind you, this podcast does not promote blazing.
Bullshit. But it was $15 and itself had like 20-25 songs.
See, like for me personally, like, just
that
because
alone
of how
is worth
for yeah. how much I'm into music, those
and
25
men.
Those 25 songs I would get so fucking sick of so fast.
Well, like, that's why it's also compatible with every single Rock Band DLC song. So when the game came out, it had a potential library of thousands of songs.
Potential. All right,
next question. I'm ready.
Wait, no, he had one more.
A classic.
Nobody cares.
I care.
Tell me.
Go ahead.
Whisper
RPG for the original Game Boy called Great Greed. No one I've talked to has ever even heard of the thing.
I have no fucking clue.
It's a Namco RPG. It was fairly dumbed down where there were a bunch of different spells, but you could only equip four at a time. Mapped to one of the four directions on the D-pad in battles.
Oh, okay.
And then A would attack, B would defend.
Fucking Dokapon!
Fucking Dokapon Kingdom!
How do we not mention
Dokapon? No, I don't know how we missed that. Dokapon Kingdom, ladies and gentlemen. Get four people together. Four total. You can't have five. That'd be horrible.
What episode did you guys go on your Dokapon rant?
I have no idea, but it doesn't matter.
Get four people together and
get a version of it.
And have a weekend available to yourself and just play Dokapon Kingdom.
The Wii one's really good.
The Wii one's really good, yeah.
Yeah, I like right. The Wii one. Yeah. There's also a DS version. The DS version's hot.
DS version is hot, but the graphics are so abysmal, it does kind of hurt the game a little bit.
Yeah. I think if you want to be a little bit more intrigued by it and you want to stay engaged, get the Wii one. And you don't even have to worry about everybody having their own controllers. You just have one fucking controller.
Yeah, it's a pass and play.
Pass and play.
Nice.
All right, next question.
Yeah, Great Greed is a cool Game Boy game before you cut me the fuck off with Dokapon.
Damn it. Dude, it's Dokapon.
Dude, we could start an SML drinking game where it's...
Every time you mention Dokapon, Dark Souls...
Every time somebody gets cut off, take a drink.
We would be absolutely...
The person who gets cut off has to take a drink.
No.
No, the person doing the cutting off.
Dude, you'd be unconscious.
I would be absolutely
20 minutes in, you would be face down.
We will do that. We will do that one of these weeks.
No, I'll be dead. I will literally fall over and die.
Well, I know the coolest part about Great Greed, everything is food-themed. Ha ha ha.
Oh, like out to lunch? Have you ever played Out to Lunch?
No,
here's another obscure game.
We have to move on. We have to move on really fast.
Super Nintendo. I made you play it yesterday.
I know you made me play it.
I just traded it into a store because I got rid of my copy of it. Super Nintendo game. You are a chef. There's a some sort of thing that makes all the food products have minds of their own. And they're running around levels and you have to catch them and put them in a cage and lock them in a cage. And then that finishes the level, and then you go to the next one. But it is so much fun, and you could probably find it for, like, 12 cents.
Okay, contest entry. We have a contest entry from Joe Stratman, a.k.a. Henry Jones, in my circle of friends.
Wait. New Joe Stratman?
Yes, S T.
Are you you're keeping all the
you're keeping all the entries?
T R A A T M A N
N. Two N's.
Okay. His social security number is.
So his entry, and he's kind of cheating a little bit here, but I'll let it slide. The Sarah McLachlan love machine. Love machine is one word.
McLachlan.
Love machine.
I spell that, so this is terrible. McLachlan, I'm putting an M at the end.
McLachlan.
Love. He says, no, wait, that doesn't count. No.
Huh?
No, you just, love machine, that's.
He has that as one word.
Like hyphenated?
He says, I know love and machine should be two words, but damn it, calling something the machine of love just doesn't sound as good.
Nope, so. Disqualified.
I don't know. Disqualified. I'll let love machine as one word. We have no other entries. It counts.
No, he needs to pick up another one. He needs to make one that actually, you know, fits the criteria.
We're not the small, medium,
we are not
large machine.
Small, medium, large, medium.
Large Kmart medium.
God damn it.
I don't know. Until we get a second entry, I think by default his has to count.
No. We'll have more entries. At least if he'll hear this and he'll be like, oh, I wonder how my entry's doing. Oh, shit, I have to put another one
in. Joe Stratman, you piece of shit.
You need to try harder.
You need to learn how things are written on the papers.
Words not good work.
Mine words.
I fought for you, Henry, but...
Try harder.
Henry, his name is Joe. Why would you...
Because in my circle of friends, everyone knows him as Henry Jones. Because I was the Joe in our circle.
Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Henry.
Okay. So.
Dr. Jones.
Carrying all right, on.
Next email from Ricky Henry. Hey, Joe, I enjoy the show. Keep up the good work. This is my go-to show for the drives where I know I'll be stuck in traffic. Can I get a shout-out for my new show that will be starting on April 26th? It's called Bit Pop Radio. It's hosted by myself and Bracey Snowcore Miller from the YouTube show Retro Snow. We'll be covering everything from old bubblegum to classic gaming. It's more or less a pop culture nostalgia show. Thanks, Ricky. Find out more at thisisbitpop.wordpress.com. No, we will not give you a shout-out.
Dude,
sorry, Ricky.
After reading the entire email...
Asking us to give you a shout-out is like...
It's pretty much like taking a flyer of all that information that you just gave us and going down to a sheet and putting it onto their bulletin
board. No, it's like trying to advertise a dubstep concert at an old folks' home.
I don't know, I just...
No, not
I don't feel comfortable broadcasting or pimping out Bit Pop Radio... Hosted by Ricky Henry and Bracey Snowcorn Miller. I mean, I don't want to tell people they can find out more at thisisbitpop.wordpress.com. We are not cheap whores, but you could always pimp us back.
You can pimp us back or pay us in the future.
I don't know if our listener is going to check out your show, but hey, listener, give them a shot
too,
I guess.
No, I mean, hey, like, if there's anything that we can do to help, if you think that we're going to help by saying that stuff, then, you know, cool, more power to you, but,
next question.
Okay, another one from Amanda, who's probably trying to make herself not seem like it's her. She says, note to you guys, I'm only sending in emails to make it look busy for you guys.
Thanks.
But,
oh, cool.
Thanks.
Okay, this is totally not Amanda. Hey, SML, what are your views on the console wars, such as Xbox versus PS3 versus PC? What are their strong points, and what do you think is the best platform?
PC Master Race.
We are not getting into
PC console bullshit.
Being part of the PC Master Race, it's
I don't even
it
have
makes
that
me
great
sad to look down
but...
at the console peons.
I can't get into PC gaming.
Dude, everything that you want to do on a console, you could do on a PC.
Not true. No, see, right now, like, my personal opinion, I like my PC the most, but that's because I use it for a lot more than gaming, and I just enjoy it. I liked building it, I like pushing it to the limits, I like it that when a new game comes out, that I can make it look better, or I can play it as intended, or I can play it at whatever the fucking way I want. I can go buy an Oculus Rift headset, and I can mod the game to work the way I want, and it's not that difficult. I like my PC stuff, there's just a lot that you can do with it, and the problem with it is that the There is a barrier to entry, which is the cost. But when you get into, if you factor in a TV and a console, you can get a good monitor or a good TV that could house your computer and a cheap computer that will play the majority of games and give you wild benefits that people just don't even realize. You have to be a PC gamer to see them. Console side, I think the Xbox is the best console on the market because it is a gamer's console. It is aimed at what the gaming market is right now. It has good online content. It has good support for indie gamers, even though there is some controversy.
You mean Sony doesn't have good online? What, do they have maintenance issues or any?
Do they go down for months at a time?
No. Do they get hacked by a bunch of people and have
a bunch of bored people?
I think the Xbox is the most complete package of a video game system you can get out of the current generation.
That could easily change next gen.
That could easily change
Microsoft
next gen.
Microsoft goes on this casual focus bullshit that they've been going on the past couple years. I can see why people are PC gamers and they look at like the PC Master Race, but I'm just not a PC gamer. I've always been a console guy. I'm always going to be a console guy. I don't want to sit at my computer desk and play on a PC. The closest I ever got to really getting hooked on anything PC is Guild Wars 2. And even that... Oh, your window popped up for PAX.
Hey. All right, I'm out.
And even...
Everything sold out.
Really?
Oh, shit.
Monday's the only thing that's available.
That's funny.
Everything sold out.
Wow. Okay.
So Tim's not going to PAX.
No, well, but, I probably am getting a press badge already.
Yeah, the closest I ever got was Guild Wars 2, and even that, I ran an HDMI cable from the PC to my TV,
right,
which is still windowed. Like, it doesn't take up the full TV, and I don't know why. And
I had to
map half the commands to a 360 controller. It's not 360 controller native, but...
Well,
just,
right, but that's what I was trying to get at.
Just to enjoy the game.
But like, that's what I was trying to get at before, where there are certain games, like everything that you want to do.
But games that aren't compatible with a controller in mind, I have no interest in, because I don't want to sit with a mouse and keyboard.
You don't. But for me particularly,
yeah,
okay.
That's why I'm saying I can understand why people love PCs, but it's just not for me.
Because my whole thing is, and I know this is going to sound really weird to certain people, because I know he was busting
my... really weird to a lot of people.
He was busting my ball a lot for it. But,
ball?
Yeah, I only have one.
Okay.
So,
you didn't know this? Hold the fuck.
Yeah, come
you gotta,
on,
you
man.
You
like,
shitting
like,
me.
No, dude, that's like one of the first things I tell people when I introduce myself.
Or the first thing I tell people.
That's news to me.
Yeah, anyway. With my gaming laptop... I enjoy playing Counter-Strike with a mouse and keyboard. Now, it might also be because I used to play Counter-Strike, obviously, mouse and keyboard when I was younger, and everything kind of translates over to the way that it is now. I kind of have that nostalgia-esque type of thing where it's like, that's just what I'm used to playing it with. However, same computer, Borderlands 2... first-person shooter, I feel more comfortable playing that with a controller.
Yeah.
So it's just like, there's certain games that I want to use a controller for, and I can do that. There's other games that I want to use a mouse and keyboard for, I can do that too.
The other big thing about the PC is a lot of games now that are on consoles are coming out on PC and getting PC preferential treatment.
Right.
And there's a lot of big titles coming out soon too, like Watch Dogs. And even the new Metal Gear games are going to come out on PC. I mean, that's huge. The Metal Gear games coming out on PC? Mm-hmm. I will not go near a console then. There's no point. Because I could hook up a PS3 or a 360 controller. Official ones. I don't need to go out and buy a generic piece of shit.
Yeah.
I can go get those official controllers. They will have support into the games for them already. And I'll just be able to go.
You know a game I wish had controller support? Diablo 3.
The PS3 version of Diablo 3
coming out looks
fantastic. Yeah,
the PS3 version looks great, but, like, I wanted to play that with a controller on the PC.
Yeah, but you know what? That's one of those games that you just really, to play it properly, this is another example of why, that's one of those games that you just can't with a controller. The way that it was originally, if someone goes to me and just goes, oh yeah, I'm going to play Diablo, but I'm going to play it with a controller, to me it's almost like blasphemy because I've been playing Diablo 1, Diablo 2, all that mouse and keyboard for like the longest fucking time.
See, but I hate doing mouse and keyboard. Like, I hate playing a game like that. And that's why I didn't play Diablo as much as I wanted to, because I hate mouse and keyboard.
What about just mouse?
Wasn't fun. Move, click. I don't want to move with a mouse. I want a joystick or a D-pad to move my character
okay,
around.
Okay, but then how are
you want to click shit.
Then how are you going to aim?
I don't... In the direction you're walking.
See, that's what makes it, like, you can't... Diablo's one of those games where it's like you're constantly getting fucking hounded from every angle, so it's like you have to swap, and you have to switch your directions of where you're aiming
okay,
so
analog
fast.
Stick, just move up, down, left, right, up, down.
Okay, but then you're going to lose the accuracy. Like, there's very subtle, like... The way that some of the...
I'm just thinking of watching you earlier today, and there is no need for accuracy whatsoever.
I'm just...
Well, no, I was using my whirlwind barb, so I was just...
You can tell me all you want, but I'm just not on the same page. I will not find a way to enjoy mouse and keyboard. I played Diablo 3 on mouse and keyboard. I didn't like it. I tried mapping it to a controller, but that game is near impossible to map to a controller.
You can. I've seen some people do it.
Pain in the ass... But it's just not for me.
Well,
more power to you if you.
Well, it's like weird though, because even like Champions of Noroth, when I played Champions of Noroth, which is essentially almost like a Diablo game.
Yeah.
When I played that on PlayStation 2, it felt comfortable. But that's also because the way that the game was designed, it was designed with consoles in mind and the control scheme. Diablo
Torchlight.
Right.
I played that on 360. I enjoyed the shit out of it.
Now, exactly. But the way that it
was
designed
for PC, though.
No, it was designed originally for consoles.
Really?
Absolutely.
Well, Torchlight's one of those indie games that was cross-platform, to be fair.
Oh.
But to be honest, because even if you look at... If you were to try and put... And I know Diablo 3 is going on... PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4. If you take a look at Diablo 2, okay, just the way that it was designed, and you wanted to use that on a controller, it would be absolutely impossible. Because you have, like, 8 different spells.
Yeah.
Hotkeyed. So that you can use this, you use this, you use this, as soon as you need it. There's no way in hell that you'd be able to go that quick between... certain spells and stuff while still maintaining your directions by using 2 different analog sticks. It's literally impossible. Like, juggling all of that is just, like, it would be so much more of a hassle with a controller than with a mouse and keyboard. But it's only for certain games that I'm saying this. Because even, like, Trackmania, we used to play Trackmania in fucking college, and you literally just used the up, down, left, right, and space bar.
Yeah.
Well, here's something else that I thought was really fun about Monaco, is you can have all 4 people play on the keyboard. You can have everybody just kind of like sit, almost like it's an arcade.
Yeah.
And you can set it up like an arcade and just have everybody kind of crouch around, because it's so simple. That's another thing that I really like about the PC is the versatility, is the opportunity to have gaming experiences like that with people.
Not to mention the fact that, like, the whole... NVIDIA, is it the Shield thing?
The Shield, yeah, the Shield's interesting. They actually put out their Blade too, the Razer Blade.
But
or no, that's Razer.
That's Razer.
My bird.
But the NVIDIA Shield, like that's going to be a huge leap for PCs in my opinion. I mean, it's technically not like it is a PC. It's not a PC. It's almost like a hybrid-esque type of thing. But the way that they're approaching it, it's with a lot of PC gamers in mind. That's an interesting concept to me as well. As far as the whole console wars thing, I've owned a PS3, I've owned a 360. I enjoyed both. I was never really a fan of the whole... certain titles are going to come out on this, certain titles are going to come out on that. Because I felt like I was constantly missing something unless I had every single console. But I think with PC, I could find enough stuff that I could be truly happy with what's available to me. And it's very versatile. And it's one of those kind of things where it's like you could dump a big investment into it and you don't necessarily feel like you're getting kind of crapped out as soon as the cycle ends. Like if I were to go and spend the money on a 360, yes, it's cheaper than a PC. However, once the cycle ends, or even a couple of, even just a year or 2 years after the console comes out, it's like if you were to go and resell it or try and, you know, get yourself to that next part of the gaming industry, it feels like you're constantly losing out in the consoles. Whereas PC, if you make an investment and build a really nice PC, that PC will last you cycle after cycle after cycle. And even when it comes time for you to upgrade, most of the time you really only have to upgrade one item, maybe two. So if you're doing it incrementally, it's, you know, you can have the best performing thing for games available for anyone at a comparable cost, depending on if you keep it up, you know,
than anyone else. Yeah, but there's that constant, like, keeping things up thing, which I just...
Well, see, I feel like I have to do that with consoles.
Bottom line is we can never have this conversation without a fist fight starting.
Not necessarily.
So we're ending this.
No, we
will never have a unanimous answer on console versus PC. And
see, but you know what?
No, that's what's good about it.
I'm just saying. That's what's great about it. You can
your PC, I'm console. We'll leave it at that.
Right.
Best console between PS3 and 360, though.
It's tough because each console has its own.
Just fucking pick.
I can't. I really can't.
We got to wrap this up.
Since you put me on the spot.
Tim picked 360. I picked 360.
I guess I'd have to go 360.
That's right, you will. Anyway, featured song this week. I am proud to say that we have an exclusive featured track this week.
Do we have any more emails?
There's one. We'll get to it next week. We spent way too much time the way it is.
So we're always just going to keep one on the back burner for the next
episode.
That way
we have email for next week.
At least one. Yeah, that's good.
Featured song this week is from the band Gimmick. My buddy Chris Taylor used to be in the band Descendants of Erdrick. Broke off. He's doing his own thing with the band Gimmick. They have an EP, a three-song EP, releasing. He says later on this month, might be next month. Just keep an eye on facebook.com/gimmickband. to find out more information on that. And the song is Proto Man Castle from Mega Man 5 off their upcoming EP, Not For Resale. Which I think is a great name for an EP release.
The band Psycho Stick, actually, their first album, I was very impressed with their album name. It was We Couldn't Think of a Title.
Yeah.
So, props for having a creative...
But yeah, check out Gimmick, and this is Proto Man Castle.
just shipped my pants.
I just shipped my pants.